You're listening to Trek FM.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
At home and welcome. This is To the Journey. My name is Charlene Schmidt, and with me, as he always is,
Tristan Riddell.
Tristan, it is good to be back. We took last week off because of life, and life just kind of seems to be continuing to throw things in our faces. You're dealing with your respective things. I've been dealing with mine, and I think I've been a little more public about what's been going on with my life as of late on Twitter. For those of you who are not on Twitter, this is the first podcast that I'm doing without the presence of Sir Teddy H. Bear, my cat, whom I would often have to kick out of the room before we recorded because he always wanted to make a cameo and be on the podcast and say hello to you all. And unfortunately, he, on Saturday night, we had to put things to a rest. He got sick. He lived for a very long time, though, and we miss him dearly. He was such a sweetheart. And it's been a tough few days. And so we were talking about what we were going to do for the podcast this week. And since you're going through some rough stuff and I'm going through some rough stuff, I thought we really need some comfort food. And what better way to do that but then to delve into one of our absolute favorite things, and that is the Janeway and Chakotay relationship. I'm sorry, relationshipers. If you're not into this, you might want to turn this podcast off now, because what are we going to do today, Tristan?
I was just about to say that, like, get ready, because that is literally all we are going to be talking about.
Yeah.
We are doing an episode commentary on Season 2, Episode 25, Resolutions. And this is how Netflix describes it. Captain Janeway and Chakotay contract an incurable virus, and they'll only survive if they stay on a planet which negates the effects of the disease.
That is right.
Like, you and I were texting each other today, and we're just like, oh, man, like, this is not good. Like, things are just keep happening that just life just keeps smacking us in the face as hard as possible.
It really has as of late. I mean, 2016, I don't know about you. Oh, I think you, I do know. Personally, and just kind of in our national worldwide consciousness, it's been just such a you-know-what storm.
It really has. Like, personally for me, it's funny because, not funny, interesting, not funny, haha.
Yeah.
Where some of the greatest things that have ever happened to me or ever will happen to me happened in 2016, because I found out that I'm going to have a little baby girl.
That's right.
In 2016.
It's not all been bad, but.
Yeah. Yes. But the thing is that, like, all this negative stuff has been happening, especially lately as we're recording this. And some of you know what we're talking about. Some of you don't. And if you don't, it doesn't really matter. Just keep us in your thoughts and your prayers and whatever else is going on.
Yeah. Hey, can I interject one quick moment here? I really forgot one very important thing, and that is so many people on Twitter express their condolences and their thoughts,
yes,
their well wishes when the news did break of Sir Teddy's passing. And so thank you all so much. That really has meant the absolute world to me. I mean, I don't know if I've hurt this much in a long time. I mean, I basically lost one of my best friends. So thank you all so much for doing that. I really appreciate your support. Now, back to you.
Well, I know I want to talk about it too. Like, you listeners have no idea how many times through the past years that Char and I have been doing this, there's certain times when we'd lit Teddy in the room and, you know, he'd hang out, but then there's other times when he's like, meow, meow, and we had to stop the podcast and you had to pick him
up. Yeah, and you pretty much got that down, Pat. Yeah, that's what he would do. He would want to probably be left out, or if nothing else, he wanted my attention. And there were a couple of times when he has made the podcast despite our best of intentions. So, you know, it's kind of interesting time around. I don't have to shut the door. Nobody else is home. It's kind of a weird feeling, and I've been dealing with those little weird feelings since Saturday night where he should be here and he's not.
Well, he is here in spirit, and yes. This episode is definitely dedicated to Teddy, and that's why this is that, like, Teddy's a big reason why we wanted to do this episode commentary of Resolutions, because this is just going to be one big comfort pie. Like this,
oh,
is,
yeah.
This is what this episode is, because you and I love talking Jane Wynn Chakotay, and that is what we're doing today. So let's just get right into it. Like, if you've never been around for a commentary, this is how we do them. We count 3, 2, 1. You hit play on your DVDs, your Hulu, Netflix, Amazon, wherever you have Star Trek Voyager. And we keep the, we just watch the subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
But you can cue it up if you want. But we also keep talking in a way where if you're driving, if you're commuting, if you're walking around and you don't have a TV in front of you or a computer screen, that is A-okay, because you will not necessarily need this to be entertained.
Right. Yes, we do try to accommodate both, because we know that we have listeners who do either little bits of both for commentaries. Maybe they do the watch along on one and then not so much for the other. But yeah, we know we have a lot of commuters. That's how I listen to my podcast.
Same here.
And so we want to accommodate you all too. So how about if we just get into this? Take a moment, pause if you've not queued up yet, and we're going to count down. 3, 2, 1, go. And here we go. We open up with a Netflix caption of gentle theme music playing.
Birds.
Really?
Birds chirping.
I guess.
I like episodes that throw us in the middle of it. I really do. I love episodes like this where you start either in the middle of the situation or the end of the situation. You have to figure out how you got there. And Resolutions does that. You know, like, we open up when they're in, you know, Janeway and Chakotay are in two stasis pods. And the question is going, the audience is questioning, you know, what's going on? What's happening? What's the deal?
Yeah, we never saw them get bit by the insects, and we don't know why it was just the two of them. Why weren't there other crew members that got bitten? I've written many fanfics on this, by the way. They're somewhere in my parents' attic. Because I came up with many scenarios as to why they were doing this. Most of them had to do with shore leave.
Oh, they took shore leave together? Yeah.
Either on purpose or on accident. Either way. Yeah. I mean, you can frame this however you want, basically. And, you know, a lot of people say Resolutions is sort of where the Janeway and Chakotay relationship began. I don't know if I would go that far. I would say this is where it really started to kind of hit the forefront. But there were a lot of things happening prior to this, many of which I'm sure we're going to discuss throughout the course of this episode.
Yeah, no, you can't say this is where it began. I think this is definitely where it got solidified, where if there was any ambiguity beforehand, this one definitely showed you, it's there and it's been there.
Yeah, that's how I see it as well. There were certainly signs. This is where, solidified is the very good key word. I mean, if there was any question, there is no doubt that Chakotay is in love with Janeway here. You can't deny that.
None.
Sorry, that's just what this episode is entirely about.
Yeah, sorry guys, if they're like, we don't want to know of any JC deniers, okay? So we don't want you around.
It's a hoax that was created in China. Sorry to our listeners in China. That's a horrible, horrible Donald Trump reference. And the election just cannot escape our consciousness right now. It's awful.
It was so interesting seeing Tuvok in not the captain's chair, but in the ready room. It was so weird seeing him in that position.
I know we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but hearing the other crew members call him Captain Tuvok kind of throws me a little bit, because his rank still says lieutenant, but they're calling him captain. Now, if you're in charge of the ship, does that automatically promote you, or doesn't it? Because how many lieutenants are in charge of a ship 24/7?
There is some debate going on about that, because it's been a little ambiguous with Star Trek. Like, in Deep Space Nine, what happened was that anyone who is in command of a vessel is automatically referred to as captain, no matter what their rank is.
Okay.
And I think that they have to be the official commander of that vessel, as in, like, you're not going to call Harry Kim captain just because he has the night shift.
Okay.
Like, you're not going to call Data captain because he has the night shift. Or, mm-hmm. And you're not going to call Riker captain when he has relieved Captain Picard. But like in Best of Both Worlds, what they did was like they had an admiral say, "I'm giving you the rank of captain," and so to Will Riker, and so that's why in our heads we're like, "Oh, that's why they're calling him captain, because he has the rank of captain now." Mm-hmm. But DS9 kind of solidified it when they took Sisko away, like when they lost Deep Space Nine to the Dominion, and they took Sisko away from the Defiant and gave it to Jadzia, even though she was a lieutenant or a lieutenant commander. I can't remember. I think she was just a lieutenant.
I think so. It's been a long time since I've watched DS9, sadly.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But just because she was a lieutenant, everyone called her captain. And I think someone actually even asked the question to O'Brien saying like, "Hey, why are they calling her captain?" And he says, "Oh, it's an old naval tradition. Anyone who's in command of a ship is called captain."
Okay. Okay. And I'm sure our folks who have served in the military are just screaming at us for not knowing that right now at this very instant, because there are a lot of naval traditions, especially in Star Trek. And so if that's where this is coming from, okay, I get it now. Just needed to solidify that knowledge in my head.
Absolutely. And so that's why I think if anybody's looking for an explanation, I think that's why they call him Captain Tuvok, because he is indeed the commander of the vessel.
Yes.
I mean, Chakotay and Janeway have been relieved.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. And he is the master of that ship now. So that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It does. All right. I feel a lot better about that now that we've talked about that.
Good.
Yeah. It's something I can clear out of my brain. Like, okay, that's not a problem. It's not a discrepancy. It's actually rooted in tradition. That's good. That's very good.
I like that we get reminded every once in a while that Janeway is, in fact, a scientist. I mean, Tuvok even just spelled it out. He says, "She is an able scientist. She will continue to look for a cure."
Yes.
And I love that they never forget that. Like, does she flex her muscles a little less as the show goes on? Yes, but they never forget it. They always make her science focused.
Yeah, they don't forget it completely. I do wish they would have remembered a little more often, though.
Yes. I am trying to give them more credit than probably they deserve.
I think you are. Yeah. I mean, especially as much as they started out with her as being a scientist, rooted in a scientific background, they really fell back on that a lot with early Janeway. And then sort of transitioned more into the, brains and brawn type command mentality that we're fairly used to with our Captain Kirks and our Commander Siscos and even Picard, who Janeway's also fairly good at diplomacy. So she's an interesting mix, I would say, of all three of our captains up to this point when the show was airing.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a solid point. Now, Tuvok just said that they are leaving orbit and that they're going to remain, but they can remain in contact for 36 hours.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell is that possible?
Pattern enhancers or something. I'm really not sure. That's one of those stupid little plot devices where we're going to have the nice fuzzy message shortly here where we fade it out and it's going to be heartfelt and, oh my gosh, they're really going to leave them behind.
Yeah, I know. Like, I did actually like that effect. I like that it got staticky and went out and everything like that, because, you know, like that it was an emotional thing. And I know I shouldn't apply logic to Star Trek.
Not for things like this.
Not for things like that, because it's like the answer is like, well, the producers wanted that to happen.
Right.
So because if they're traveling at warp speed for 36 hours.
Yeah, come on. They're long gone.
That's a lot of light years. And so you're telling me that little comm badge has a subspace transponder in it? You know, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that there are some fans out there who totally know everything about this.
They probably do. And if so, please write us and let us know. Go to trek.fm/contact and please explain science the science for us.
Yeah. No, if I'm wrong, like if I'm totally off base, I want to know, because that would be awesome if they're like, yeah, no, in the communicators, they totally have this magic stuff. And I'd be like, okay,
right.
Sweet.
But like right now, I mean, to me, it sounds like I would be trying to contact, say, somebody on the moon through my iPhone. It's just not possible right now. It could happen, but there would have to be some finagling to make that happen, right?
Okay, here's some retcon. Here's okay. an explanation that they didn't talk about that I can throw out there.
Okay, apologist, get on it.
They gave them a super duper, how do I put this? A super duper communications unit with all of their survival equipment just for that reason.
Massive signal booster, is that it?
Yes, a massive signal booster, a huge relay device. So it's not just their comm badges, it's their comm badges relaying to the better piece of technology that's actually sending a signal.
You know
to
what?
Voyager.
You're making a lot more sense than you think, I think, because they would need that. Like, say Janeway in the next 5 days magically comes up with the cure for the virus, even though the doctor spent 17 days and he is the best of all previous medical knowledge in the history of the galaxy and couldn't do it in 17 days. But if Janeway just happened to do it and they were on that little shuttlecraft that can only go so fast and it's trying to catch up to Voyager, they need that signal boost to say, hey, wait for us, come back, or at least stop so we can catch up. So they would need that, yes?
Yes, yes.
And that also explains why so many times they're out of range when they're on a freaking shuttlecraft and Voyager is so many hours away and it's not even close to 36 hours. It's even less than that and they still can't do it. Yeah. So
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And here we go with the heartfelt speech. And Janeway gets her moment here to say her piece, say goodbye. Meanwhile, Chakotay, not so much. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think in reality, I feel like they could, it would have happened. Like if this was real life, Chakotay would have said something.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, most of these, well, not most, but a good portion of this crew are people who were serving under him on his ship.
Right. Right. And like for that reason alone, he should have said something. But I think from a story standpoint, from an episode standpoint, It was cleaner to have Janeway say something.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it's just it kind of comes off as shabby, especially when Tuvok says, a lot of times, you know, oh, Commander, I'm sure, blah blah blah. I speak for the entire crew. Live long and prosper, which is what he's saying right now. We will always remember your grace and courage, and it's been an honor serving with you. Oh, well, thanks, Tuvok. Bye. And then that's it. Fade out. So goofy.
No, with Tuvok, he's short. He's short and terse. Not a short man, but he's short in speech, and he's laconic a little bit. And
not always a man of many words. When he does speak, though, it's usually pretty eloquent. However, and I don't know if this has anything to do with it at all, but Chakotay and Tuvok haven't always been the best of buddies either. So, like, you could read into it and say, oh, this is a matter of disrespect. But that's probably reading between the lines a little too much.
I think in-universe you could reflect that. But I feel like Tuvok would let that go. I think he would let that go for this occasion.
Okay. And, well, let's just completely change gears here and let's talk about the, either the highlight of this episode or the thorn in our side. And that is, of course, the monkey.
The monkey.
There he is.
The monkey so much.
The primate in all of his glory. He made Janeway jump out of the bathtub. Actually, there's one thing does bother me about this scene is Janeway acts like a scared little girl. And that's not Janeway. I know that they think they're alone out here, and she automatically assumes it's maybe a person. And yes, she's, in her birthday suit, but she is not scared. But then she's like, oh, over there. Go point the flashlight over there. I'm really scared. I'm going to lean into you. Like, it's very much a setup for what's going to come later, which is Chakotay getting a little peek at what's under the towel. It's a little too Harlequin romance novel-y. I mean, this is very much what it is, right? I mean, this is just that perfect Star Trek-ish setup for the romance novel of the 24th century. I mean, Jerry Taylor crafted this very much in that vein.
Okay, so I don't know. Okay, she's out in a bathtub. She's naked in the middle of the woods. I'd be scared. You know,
you
like,
would?
I would have jumped. I would have screamed for Chakotay, too.
Well, okay, I might have screamed for him, like, hey, get out of here with a flashlight, please. But then I'm not really, I don't know, I'm not digging the whole whispering thing and the leaning in. It comes off as weird and not Captain Janeway. It feels out of character to serve the furthering of the story. And don't get me wrong, I love watching them get closer in this episode as it progresses, but if I'm trying to be true to the character, I say, no, you have to rework this a little bit.
I think you're making a mountain out of a molehill.
Wow.
I do.
You know, the thing is I've watched this episode so freaking many times. It's kind of fun to take a break from it for a while and then see it all over again from a very different perspective. Because you kind of, I don't know, when you see something so many times or you hear something so many times, it becomes like this normalization, you know, you forget the nuance of it. You know, like if you listen to a song a gazillion times, just over and over and over, you lose some details because you're so used to hearing it. You know, it doesn't even occur to you what's going on in it, right? Well, I've done that with resolutions for the last 20 years. And I remember a few years ago, after I had taken a little bit of a break from Star Trek and was just starting to get back into it again, and this was right before I discovered Trek FM, by the way, I watched this episode and I'm like, this is actually really freaking cool. Because if you think about it, Chakotay and Janeway could not be any different. Chakotay is very much embracing the situation. He's enjoying the moment. He's living in the present. He is more than happy to give up the ship for home and hearth. It suits him very well. Whereas with Janeway, she comes from a background of science, not necessarily of tradition. She's very much a Starfleet officer. Chakotay is neither of those things, so they're almost opposites, and that's why they complement each other so well, and it's nice to watch them clash in this kind of a situation where all they have is each other. And it's a nice reminder, frankly, of why they work together so well, which is why we wanted them all to get together in the first place. Because that chemistry was there so hard.
Yes, very much so, especially early on. And now, what do you think about this? What do you think about Ensign Harry Kim kind of overstepping his bounds? And like, not only does he, you know, basically yell at Tuvok, he tries to get the rest of the bridge in on it, like saying, like, what is wrong with you people? Like, just like totally unprofessional.
It really is, and it reminds me a lot of the previous episode that aired right before this, which was Tuvix, where Tuvix is like, this isn't right! Isn't anybody else going to speak up about how wrong this is? It's sort of like that sort of an outburst, and the only reason why Harry even halfway gets away with it is because he is an ensign and he's young, and you can play it off as, oh, you're the green ensign. And you know, the thing is, though, is it makes Harry look bad, like a lot of things do. And I hate that. I really do. And it makes him look like a mopey little kid. I miss mommy. I need my mommy Janeway to guide me on the way home. I am nothing without her. I can't function without this. We've got to find a way to get her back. But again, it's serving the freaking story.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing is, I think you're right. It does make him come off as whiny and childish, and they could have handled it better. Like they could have handled it to the point where he did get angry with Tuvok. Maybe he said something that was, you know, like crossing the line, but maybe he wasn't, they didn't have to make him completely unprofessional.
He didn't have to lose it.
Yeah. Like he didn't have to leave his station and then like make an appeal to the rest of the bridge. He could have just said like Tuvok, you know, like I'm gonna we should do this. I'm gonna hail them. And he says, he's like, no, I told you not to. He's
right.
Like, no, we should do it. I'm gonna do it right now. And that's when Tuvok goes, okay, leave the bridge. Like if you can't do what I tell you to do, you have no business being here.
Yeah, when it comes to rebellion, if Tom Paris is telling you not to do something, you really ought to listen. The dude knows. He's been there. Okay. If Tommy is trying to talk you down, Harry, listen to the guy. Please.
I know it's not good podcasting to talk about costumes, but Tuvok's pajamas are freaking awesome.
I absolutely love that purple pattern that he's wearing. Yeah. It looks great on him, for one thing. But it's also got just like a nice, subtle, cosmic look. You know how Star Trek will sometimes have these weird, outlandish costumes just because, ooh, we're in space. Well, this is kind of that, but taken down a notch to where it's just cool. So I'm glad you brought this up.
Yeah, it's like the shoulder pads look awesome. It looks like something a Romulan would wear, but yet mixed with, you know, Spock's robes that we saw in Star Trek VI or something like that.
Mm. Yeah, but with, I don't know, with a little more flair because it's purple and it's kind of a brighter color. It's not muted like a typical Vulcan anything, frankly, would be.
Now, with this scene, I like that Harry went to Tuvok privately. I like that he said, it's like, listen, you know, like, let me talk to you. And I'm like, this is the situation that should have happened instead.
Where yeah, I agree.
He makes a personal appeal.
Now, to Terry's credit, he started off by apologizing. He realized that he did wrong. But you give it just a couple more minutes into this scene and he is already kind of reverted back to the childlike state of everybody I've talked to thinks that we should give us a try. And Tuvok handles this like you would with a teenager who says, all of my friends are doing it. And he says, the people you talk to are not in command of this ship, and I am. And Harry ultimately, again, leaves angry and on thin ice with Tuvok.
I loved it, though. I love that dynamic, and you can see that Harry is pissed as hell.
I mean, one thing that I like... Sorry to cut you off, but I do like seeing Harry get a little steamed. I do like the friction. I just don't like the way it's executed. It makes him look bad.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say that I like seeing emotional Harry. I like seeing Harry pissed. I like him seeing go over the edge. But yeah, he could have come about it a different way.
A very different way, in a way that would not have made him look so bad and accomplished the same thing. I wish they would have given a little more love to the B plot, especially in that respect. Now, speaking of costumes, we have Janeway wearing a series of dresses throughout this episode. And we have Chakotay looking, I would say, pretty darn fine in that open shirt a little bit. I'm really digging what he's wearing with her. Okay, she's going to go running around in the forest wearing a dress. That wouldn't be my first choice.
It's a little Sarah Plain and Tall with the dress and out in the wilderness. But at the same time, I kind of wanted to see this again. I wanted to see these outfits again because how often do we see Janeway out of uniform in the next coming seasons? Like, I feel like I can count it on one hand.
Yeah, it's not many. And if I'm recalling correctly, we don't see any of these dresses ever again. She's always wearing something a little different. I remember like the white collared shirt that she wears somewhere in the course of season 4. I think there are a couple of other dresses. She wears a really kind of like almost purple. I'm not remembering what episode, but it looks almost kind of like velour, but it looks really pretty on her. There's things like of that nature, but we don't ever see these again. So, yeah.
I totally respect people who can build things with their hands. I completely respect people who can take a block of wood and build it into a headboard or a bathtub, you know, a bathtub or turn it into a canoe or something like that. Like I totally respect what Chakotay is doing. And I remember I can't remember if I said this on the podcast or if I tweeted it or something, but there was an emergency with the girl's set. Like she had a set built for one of her plays, and it cracked in half, it broke down, it wasn't built well.
Oh, no.
And she was freaking out. She called me. I was in the middle of a podcast actually, and she called me and I had to abandon the podcast and I had to go.
Oh gosh.
And so it was me and literally 100 kids, over 100 kids, and we all came together. We all tried to fix it, and I led it, and I just used the knowledge that my dad taught me. Now, I'm not an expert by any way, shape, or form, but there was something about using your own two hands to create something from nothing or to fix something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you and I, we create content every single week.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us multiple times a week. Like we write, we produce videos, we produce podcasts, we use our voice to create things, we build things. I've helped build a podcasting network. And yeah. But there's something different about using your own two hands in that physical nature.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And when I see Chakotay do it, I have nothing but respect. And it also makes me realize that if I was in the woods with Janeway, I'd be like, listen, you're not getting a headboard, you're not getting a canoe, you're not getting a bathtub, you're lucky if we have food.
Poor Janeway. She's just not getting any accommodations if you're stranded with her, is she? You know,
nope.
What's so funny is I definitely relate to Chakotay as well. And if I were in this weird situation, I would be Chakotay. I would be the one saying, okay, you know what? This is the situation. The reality is we're probably not going to leave here. I accept that. And you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do. And I would be working with my hands. Now, I'm not a woodworker by any means, but I love the craft of making something with my hands. That's why I ran my own business for a while with Bath and Body Products. I made that all with my hands. And then when I worked at a coffee shop, just simply crafting a cup of coffee, you know, like, and it's not like the Starbucks thing where the machine does everything for you. No, I would actually, you know, make the grind. I would put in the amount of espresso that it needed and brew it, make sure it was accurate, put the syrup in, all that. That it's an art. And I thoroughly loved it. So there is definitely something about making something with your hands that's very satisfying. I completely get that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now we have Kes talking with Tuvok.
Yeah, I feel bad for Tuvok in this situation because...
They're ganging up on him.
I know. Like, this is like the anti-best of both worlds where, you know, like in Best of Both Worlds, I guess that's the second time I've mentioned it today. In Best of Both Worlds, you have Riker who's taken over as the captaincy and he's a reluctant captain. You know,
he
doesn't want to leave Picard behind, but he has to be convinced to leave Picard behind. Like, Kes comes in and tries to convince him to not leave Janeway behind, and Guinan comes in to convince Riker to leave Picard behind. And you feel like on the Enterprise-D, the crew is kind of behind Riker, where they're like, listen, like, whatever you need, we will help you out. We're with you. Yeah, this is a crappy situation, but we're here. on Voyager, I feel like Tuvok's getting kind of the short end of the stick here, where, like... There's no unification. There is no united front. Like, Tuvok is thrust into a horrible situation. He's making the best of it. He only cares about people's safety. And everybody is coming to him saying, you know what? You suck.
Yeah, we're going to mutiny on your ass.
You're like, no one's going to tell you this, but nobody likes you. Nobody even wants you here.
Yeah. I mean, that is pretty much how what they're doing in a Star Trek way, not a Mean Girls way. Yeah, they are basically betraying him and they're making him change his mind, basically.
It's like, yeah, we only wear command red on Wednesdays.
Gosh. And then the thing is, I mean, he does capitulate. He gives in.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. I was so surprised. I was like, Harry couldn't do it. And he threatened to relieve him of command. Kes comes in and he's like, all right.
Yeah, I mean, you could interpret that in a couple of ways, I guess. Either the power of the friendship Tuvok and Kes have, where she is such a confidant and a trusted and beloved friend that if she's saying something, he knows, okay, maybe I should really be listening here. Or should he really be sticking to his guns and saying, look, no, this is not the right thing to do. And, you know, maybe it would have been better for Tuvok's sake had they been maybe forced to confront the Vidians instead of the way it happened, where it's not a situation he wanted, but then that's now the reality he has to deal with. And hey, while we're at it, why don't we get the serum from Dr. Pell?
I think from this is, if I can guess, and it's pure conjecture because we don't know, but I feel like from Tuvok's perspective, like if I was in Tuvok's place and I was as smart as Tuvok, which I'm not,
me neither.
And I thought as logically as Tuvok, I think he's thinking the long game. Like, he's playing the long game where he's running all the calculations. He's thinking about what's going to happen next. I think he's like, okay, if I say no to these people now and they'll always wonder, what if? What if Tuvok listened to us? What if we went back and tried to save the captain? We wouldn't, like, go years down the line. People are going to constantly say, man, if we only went to the Vidians and Tuvok wasn't in command, we got Janeway back. This never would have happened with Janeway. This never would have happened with Chakotay. And so he would have to battle, if he just plain said no, he'd have to battle that for the rest of the journey. And he still thinks that they are going to be on this journey for the next 70 years, which is in his lifetime.
Right. So he's going to be putting up with this crap for a long freaking time. And do you want a whole crew at odds with you every step of the way? You make a very good point.
Yes, but on top of that, if he goes and goes into a confrontation with the Vidians, now, and three things could happen where they get the serum and they escape, which is what happened. And then he doesn't have to be captain anymore and he gets his friend back. Scenario two. They get into a hefty battle and, you know, like, crap gets real, things get dangerous, and it gets to the point where they're almost destroyed, and so he has to say retreat, and then he's able to go, okay, I tried it, I listened to you guys, it didn't work, but now we have to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And then thirdly, they get destroyed and it doesn't matter anyway.
True. Yeah, and they're harvested for body parts, the end.
Right.
Which we obviously can't have happen because the actors have contracts.
Right. And so I think that's what Tuvok is thinking. He's like, okay, I will try this and I will run at the first sign of trouble and then they'll respect me for it, but then we can move on or we can win.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I guess two of the three options kind of stand in his favor that way.
Yeah.
And of course, you're still running the risk of the third, and that's the inherent danger and... oh boy, space battle. Ooh.
But risk is our business.
That's right. That's Josh. Why we're out here. Yes.
That's why we're aboard her. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Now, if somebody went to the effort of building you a bathtub, would you not fall in love with them?
Well, I don't know. Are they as good looking as Chakotay? I mean, Janeway. Oh. Wow, did that come out? Oh, I said that out loud.
I believe that's committed to air. And I'm not judging. I mean, you know, Chakotay is a very handsome man. Janeway is a very attractive woman. I think either way, you don't lose.
It's so funny. Like, my mom, I know I've talked about this, but I probably haven't talked about it in years. My mom finds Native American men so attractive.
Yeah. Yeah, you have mentioned this.
She has such a crush on Native American men. And so she loves Robert Beltran. She loves Chakotay. And, like, I remember when we first started the show and he was still the peppered XO.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while when he'd come on the screen, you would just, like, I'd hear my mom behind me go, whoa.
Now, as the son, were you like, oh, mom, really? Come on, stop that.
No.
It's adorable. Now, I have to say, I absolutely love that look we just saw of Janeway as Chakotay says, aye, aye, Captain. And she kind of slaps his leg a little bit and they walk off. And I think that's when she starts to realize that crap is getting a little real. There's some feelings going on here.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and she's got the sore neck. I've totally used this.
Every time I have a sore neck, I think about the scene, I'm thinking, I want a massage.
Yeah.
Yes.
And oh, that right there, that look. I know we're podcasting. I know this is just audio, but that look that Janeway gives us right then and there, because it instantly, when he touches her hair to move it away, she has accepted it in her mind. She's like, oh, this is happening.
And like, yep. Crap's getting real.
You see it. She's such a good actress.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how detailed the two of them work to make the nuances of this come together, but they are both playing this so beautifully in subtle ways that you know, after you've watched it 30 or 50 times like I have, you see this in action, you're like, dang, they are good, and they're really good together, which makes me wonder, because they don't have much time for rehearsal, just how much work did they really put into this? It makes me wonder.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. And I absolutely love the lighting they did for that back rub. you know, with the little light beam thing that they have, that fixture in the background. It's like the perfect mood lighting. All they need is a little bit of soft music, and Chakotay is home free, I think. But in my fanfic world, it is, because Janeway would fall for him a lot harder and faster. But, you know, this is Star Trek, and we're going to get what we get here later on.
It's true, yeah. Like, you know that Chakotay's thinking, if only I had some Marvin Gaye right now.
Right, or, Barry White, thank you. Yeah, Barry White. Yeah.
See, I knew what you were thinking.
Yeah, you know that song, I'm thinking. I'm not going to sing it, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Nobody needs to hear that. Right. I can't sing.
See, that screen is not, that is not blurry enough, that privacy screen, because you can see everything. Like, you can see her moving around.
I can just imagine Chakotay, if he's got even just a little bit of a pervy or even just curious streak, if she's changing behind there, all I'm saying is nothing's left to the imagination.
You know that if this was Star Trek Enterprise, we would see her changing behind that.
Oh, totally, that panel. Right?
Yeah.
Abso-freaking-lutely. Yes. It would definitely have happened.
We would get some definite Janeway side boob in if it's a Star Trek Enterprise.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be covered up with camera angles, and we wouldn't, you know, it'd be more than just Chakotay getting a look, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that is what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, so here we go. We are just about to embark on the ancient legend speech. I really want to know from a male perspective what you think of this. Is this a way to win someone you are falling in love with over?
Yes.
It is? Tell me why.
Oh, it totally is. Well, okay, here's the thing. I'm going to do a shameful plug here. I just did a podcast with my wife, AKA the girl, on Nerd Nuptial. Check it out at thenerdparty.com. So what it was, I think it was two episodes ago, where we talked about dating and dating as a nerd and dating other nerds and as a nerd dating normies and things like that. And we started talking about what do you do when you get caught as a nerd. And I said that I wouldn't deny it. I would embrace it. I would just showcase my nerddom, but I would trump it with passion, where I would just get super into it. And I would showcase intellectualism and knowledge about said prospect without trying to deny it. And there is something that, and I can only speak from the straight male perspective. I can only speak from that perspective, where there is something that I have witnessed in my own personal experience, that when you tell these stories and you showcase emotion and you showcase depth without being overly emotional or like crying or pretentious. If you can showcase intellectualism while being deep and thoughtful, in my experience, women fall for that. And I think that's what Chakotay is doing right now, where he knows his audience. He knows Janeway. He knows that she's attracted to him. He knows that they have something between them. And she is a direct woman, but at the same time, she appreciates subtlety and metaphor. And she knows that's how Chakotay works.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. That's a very good point to make. I think that is how Chakotay works. And I think, yes, it does work on Janeway, just because, I mean, she's got tears streaming down her face right now as we're watching this.
I completely forgot that. I completely and utterly forgot that she sheds a tear in this scene.
She sheds more than one tear. She sheds at least two.
Oh, bam, there was the second one, and then they're holding hands, and they're rubbing thumbs, people. Mm-hmm. They're rubbing thumbs.
Oh. And then they went to bed, the end.
That's so close to sex.
Well, it is for them, and it is for Star Trek. Star Trek has a very unusual way it handles sex a lot of time. It's either in a very juvenile way, and then on a very rare occasion, they do get it right. Say, with Worf and Jadzia, or Tom and B'Elanna, for the most part.
Now, I'm talking from a real perspective here, like from a real story's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Could we infer from that conversation and how that ended if they actually had sex? Or was that conversation very much, it's not going to happen right now?
I think you can interpret it either way. They left it to our imaginations on purpose, because you can see whatever you want to see out of that scene. And thank you for sharing your perspective on that ancient legend, how you interpret it, because a lot of times when I hear the ancient legend, I feel like, you're masking your true feelings behind a story. Be direct with her. Tell her how you really feel, because that's what she wants. And you know what? That's not necessarily true. That's what I would want as a straight human female. And just tell me your honest feelings without shading it in metaphor, because I feel like you're trying to hide them. And I don't like that whatsoever. It seems almost juvenile to me. My crush when I was 14, maybe he would do that. But as a grown adult man, no, give it to me straight. Tell me how you really feel. And then let's hop in the sack. Maybe if I'm into it.
I appreciate that. I think I appreciate directness. I've always been a very direct individual, and I know you have been too. And so I get that. I get that perspective very much so. Like I get that that could be perceived as a juvenile way of communication. But at the same time, I think it's also good if you're not quite sure what that individual is going to say back. I feel it's mm-hmm. a courtesy to the other person to allow them to turn you down in a nice way that's not direct, where you just don't go, hey, so are we getting together or what? And they go, no, thank you. But if you give them this story, you use metaphor, you give the subtlety about your own feelings, they can say, well, you know, that's very beautiful. And maybe someday that'll work for that person, but not today. You know, like you can talk in the abstract.
You know what? You've convinced me, because that's exactly what this situation is. Janeway is just barely starting to let go of Voyager at this particular point in the story, where all of her equipment's destroyed. There really is no hope at this point that they're going to get back on the ship. And she's just turned the corner, just start to process the fact that she and Chakotay are going to be on this planet together forever. It's far too new. She's got some time. Yeah. Chakotay knows that. And so he is going to leave it a little open-ended for her to say no for right now. And then maybe later on, just give her the time to breathe. You're absolutely right. Because if he had been direct, if he'd maybe pulled like a Jim and Pam at the end of season 2, where he just came out and said, look, I'm in love with you, he's going to get rejected. Right. And I don't know if Chakotay could handle that at that particular moment. He's so far gone already. Now, the thing is, we cut to this scene where Janeway's in the garden and Chakotay, she kind of hears him come up. She like kind of does this weird turn like, oh, hello. It really, again, depending on what you want to read into it, you could definitely think that they've had sex. She looks really happy.
And I think that's the thing, is because they've been gone, like, when she was in the bathtub, the ship's been gone for 24 days.
Yeah.
And then after that, we don't know how much time has gone by, maybe a week. So let's round it out to an even month. So it's going to take them another month for Voyager to get back. So that's at least 2 months, at least.
Although,
2 months.
Well, consider this. Once they're back in communications range, it's another 36 hours.
Yes.
So, the timeline is very vague on this. I mean, I've heard a month, I've heard 6 weeks. There's really nothing that clear on how long they were actually on this planet together.
I'm going to say at least 2 months, though, because we know that a Voyager was going in the opposite direction for at least 24 days.
Yeah, you would think, I think you do have to side more on longer than shorter amount of a time.
Yeah, And so it kind of is up to that, where you're like, yeah, maybe she got to that point. Maybe she let go.
Maybe.
After that 24-day mark, but before that 60-day mark.
Yeah. You know, they are giving us the impression, though, that that's not really the case. Like, this is the very day after, and now Voyager, at the same time, Voyager is coming back into comm range. So all this weird elapsed time doesn't exist. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's very messed up.
I guess you could look at it with that way, as a flimsy timeline. Yeah, you could look at it where maybe the time, like maybe time didn't show us as much on the ship as they did back on New Earth, or vice versa. So I guess they could show it in a very in different ways or anything like that. So
yeah,
okay. I guess, I can't say that it's been at least 2 months.
Yeah, I really wish there could be some definitive time frame we could get from somebody. I don't even think Larry Nemechek knows an exact figure. Just help us map us out. Give us a direct answer, and then that way we can retcon it all in our heads.
And also with Janeway like saying goodbye to the monkey, and then she says, "Feel free to use the house." Why on earth would you leave the house?
Hello. Okay, Voyager is so short on supplies as it is. I mean, the first season, all they talked about was rationing. They're gonna leave the house? Are you kidding me?
I refuse to believe that.
Yeah, I think maybe you have to be the apologist and say they mean it in the 24 hours it's going to take to disassemble the house.
Yeah. Like
something.
I say they beamed it up like 5 seconds after that into a cargo bay, then dismantled it, and then moved on. Now this scene right here, they're back on the bridge and they are all business, and they are making a point of being all business. I love that. I friggin' love that.
Why do you love it?
I love it because it's real, and it's because it's exactly what they would do, and it's all subtext. It's all us reading into it. You know that they are crawling underneath their skin right now. Where they are so sad that they weren't able to pursue what they both wanted to pursue.
Oh, yeah, this is a very stark transition on purpose. They are all business, and then, yeah, I absolutely agree. Underneath, they are trying very hard to ignore everything else. And behind the scenes, you know in real life that that's not working, but they're giving it their very best on the bridge.
Yes.
As a good captain and commander would with their leadership, because they are the ones who have to be strong and all that good stuff.
This is the type of episode, and this is the type of performance that you get from Robert Beltran when you give his character dignity and language and lines this good. This is what you get.
Yeah, this is good material for him. There's a lot going on here, absolutely. And I don't think Robert Beltran is a bad actor. It's just he wasn't given a chance to shine nearly enough.
No, not at all. Well, there you have it, folks. That's our episode.
That's it. That's Resolutions. And that's not the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Ready Room.
You know, Pushing Daisies and Hannibal are two very different shows, but they both have a very strong visual look and a very strong storytelling style and a point of view. And one is quirky and one is darkly quirky and one is whimsically quirky.
Literary Treks.
She just does such amazing things with these characters, and it just consistently blows me away how invested I am in Chakotay's life decisions. I never ever thought that I would care two whits about what Chakotay does with his life, but I'm really invested here. You know, I really care about the decisions he's making and what's going to become of him in the future.
The 602 Club.
But now by the third one, you've got this really difficult task of, like every sequel has, you've got to be the same but different. And you've got to build on the success of that character that has been so cemented now by two movies. So the little things that started to show up in the first two movies, the quips, the cool clothes, all of this stuff is exponentially blown up onto a much, much bigger scale in this movie.
Saturday Morning Trek.
And all these things just brought in more and more people who thought they were alone, and they found each other and they made their clubs and then they made conventions. And that's what the 70s were about, was getting Star Trek back and finding each other.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We have new Trek Talk coming to you every single day of the week. And that's all thanks to our folks on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/trekfm. Check it out. Consider becoming a monthly subscriber if you like what we do. And on TTJ, we have several associate producers, including a new one whom we need to thank for supporting us in particular. And those lovely folks are Kenneth Tripp, Jamie Deuce, Bruce Lish, Dante Hopkins, Brian Belicio, Kay Janeway, and our new associate producer, Ju Kim. So thank you very much, all of you, for supporting TTJ and Trek FM at large.
Thank you, Ju Kim, and welcome aboard.
Yeah, thank you so much. Now, another way you can support us is by writing us a review on iTunes. That helps us get exposure in the rankings and whatnot, other people finding the show. Help us out, and if you give us 5 stars and write us a short review, we will shout out your name on the show. Well, I don't know about you, Tristan, but I feel a little better having a little bit of Janeway and Chakotay comfort food.
You know what occurred to me while we were podcasting, while I was thinking, is like both you and I were honest at the top of the show that we have a lot of things going on, not all positive. And
yeah.
Us doing this show really helps out because we really appreciate the listeners. And I'm going to talk directly to the listeners. You guys are awesome. You help us proceed. You help us move forward. You brighten our day by sending us emails saying that you love the show, and sometimes just saying that you love what we do, or even just asking us questions like, have you ever thought of this? Or what about this for a show topic? It brightens our day every single time, and we could not ask for better listeners. And so even when we have crappy days or crappy weeks or sometimes even crappy months, we know that you guys are here to listen, and you brighten our day by contacting us.
Yeah, and thank you so much for that support. It really does mean a lot, especially when things are not so great. You kind of help us rise above it and keep going. And so we really do appreciate it very, very much.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. And please tune in next week because we're going to give you more Voyager goodness. But you'll have to tune in. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey! All right.